Blog Talk Radio.
Black power.
Black power.
Black power.
Black power.
Black power.
Black
power. You are now viewing, for those of you who are viewing, and for those of you who are listening, and you are now listening to the Revolutionary Black Panther Party, National Political Education, Part 2, for Thursday, May 31st, 2018. On the West Coast, it is currently 9:48 p.m. Also, Central Time, it's 11:48 p.m. And on the East Coast, Eastern Standard Time, it is 12:48 a.m., so it's in the a.m. We had a lot of off-the-wall difficulties tonight, but it's all good. The Cubs are bright and strong even right now. And this is part two, so I'm going to be dropping some real serious information on you to deal with the topic for the night, which is slavery was war. Does slavery exist today? Still exists today. Did slavery come with psychological change? Is it true that black people are being murdered almost every day by police? Is there truly a sunken place, family, like in the movie Get Out? Have more black people died by the hands of police than during the lynching era? Real serious questions to be asked, real serious topic, and real serious questions to be answered. So we got coming up for you this young, bold, revolutionary warrior queen. And who do you have us, little young general queen? What would you like to say to the people?
Black power.
Black power.
Black power.
All power to the
people. All power to the people.
And we got this young general coming up right now. This is young General Tuck. Who do you have us some words of wisdom and power from?
Black
power. Ashe, drop it on us.
The price of freedom is death.
Black power.
Black power.
Very
Black
good, power. Very good. And we got this young warrior come up. What would you like to say to the people?
Black power is...
Black power. Very good. Round of applause. Black power. Black power. And next we got this young revolutionary warrior coming up. Very strong, powerful revolutionary. General Patel. Who do you have with some words of wisdom?
Malcolm X.
Ashe, drop it on us.
I don't call it violence when it is self defense. I call it intelligence.
Black power.
Black power.
Powerful. We spoken. And next we got this young revolutionary warrior queen coming up, Queen Candice. Who do you have some words of wisdom from?
Dr. Khalid Muhammad.
Who gave you that? But go ahead. Black power. That's a powerful one. Go ahead, drop it on them.
The enemy is not gonna fight you and feed you.
Black power, I believe that. So at least feed you right. They may feed you, but give you some poison. Black power, we had this young revolutionary warrior coming up. This is a bold young general, General Shaka. Who do you have with some words of wisdom from?
Malcolm X.
I say, drop it on us.
If you're not ready to die, take the war freedom out of your vocabulary.
Black power. Tell them one more time.
If you're not ready to die, take the war freedom out of your vocabulary.
All right, they got a head. I don't think they heard you. Go ahead, General Shaka. Tell them one more time.
If you're not ready to die, take the war freedom out of your vocabulary.
Black power.
Black power.
All power to the people.
All power to the people.
Hey, you tell them one more time. I don't mean to keep you repeating like a broken record, but listen carefully.
If you're not ready to die, take the war freedom out of your vocabulary.
Black power.
Black power.
All power to the people.
All power to the people.
Next, we have this young, bold, revolutionary warrior coming up, and he has some very powerful words to share with you. Go ahead, General. Who do you have with some wisdom from?
Free P. Newton.
Uh-oh. Ashe, drop it on us.
If you stop juggling, do you stop what? Black power.
One more time.
If you stop juggling, do you stop what? Black power.
Black power.
Black power.
Black power. Very good, very good. Next, we got, we covered the spectrum. Black power, very good, very good, very good. It's all good. So revolutionary love, we appreciate y'all for tuning in. Again, the topic tonight is very, very powerful, very, very serious topic for tonight. One more. what would you like to share with the people, young warrior? What would you like to say? Go ahead.
Black power family.
Black power, go ahead. Just like to give him a round of applause.
Black power.
Black power, very good, family. Very, very good. So for those of you who are listening right now, we're going to be dropping some real serious information for you. I want you to give us about maybe 2 minutes to get things squared away, get the Cubs squared away. You know, on the East Coast, it is 12:53 a.m. We got a lot of serious technical issues tonight. It's crazy. Those of you who are friends of me on my page, I was able to post, but can't. This tag, all kind of crazy stuff goes on, including the broadcast. But, you know, if you are in a system that's based on fascism, and the fascists actually control the system, the racists and supremacists control the system, their mediums, their platforms, and we have to use it the way that we're supposed to. It must be of a value and service to the people, and even if you're doing it, a positive, constructive, proactive value and service to yourself and not for anything else. So in that way, you know they're going to always have a little interruption here and there, but it's all good. So I want you all to give us approximately 2 to 5 minutes to set up, and we'll be right back with you. For those of you who are listening on the radio, those who want to call in and speak tonight, during or after we drop the information, please call 929-477-3104. That's area code 929-477. And it is 3104. So we'll be right back with you in a few moments. Black Power. 95. Chopping us up and doing all sorts of different things. For those of you who are tuning in, the best we can do on our end is apologize for what it is that they're doing, in essence. But we will give you the value of coming from the top, you know. But in essence, we know that you can't do this work and you can't be on a platform, because they did that with just like I'm talking and I'm seeing something pop up and it's talking about how many segments we have. We know they don't time lies, but this is exactly what they do. They do what they want to do to us, and in essence, those are the circumstances that we deal with. So we got a little warrior here. Speak to the people. You want to say something, little Mona?
Right.
So they cut us off, but we're black, and we're going to get through this. Regardless of the fact, we're going to cover the information tonight. Whatever the dynamic is, we'll be dealing with that. So for those of you who are listening, and some of you who are just tuning in, the topic for tonight, one more time, is slavery was war. Slavery was war. And if you see us choppy at any time, please let us know, because when it starts getting choppy, that's like when they start, it cuts off. It cut off. So just let us know, if we're choppy at all. Moving right along. So the topic for tonight is the sunken place trauma, casualties of the war of slavery. Slavery was war. And does slavery still exist? There were questions that we spoke about earlier, before we were cut off. And that is it true that black people are being murdered almost every day by police? Now, the question is, have more black people been killed by the police or died by the police today than during the lynching era? And is violent white racism a mental disorder? Has Trump emboldened white supremacists? And is there truly a sunken place like in the movie Get Out? And in that question, is there truly a sunken place like in the movie Get Out? If so, what must be done? And if so, how does it affect black people? So we will be dealing with all of those answers for you. And if you see us getting choppy at any time, let us know, because it is usually then that they get ready to cut it off or shut it down or whatever the heck, or like basically all of a sudden, just like what we see here, what we experienced before. So for those of you who are listening, I will give you all the honors for those just coming in, those honors to the entire community. We always send the love and the greetings, so we'll give that to you, and once more to the family. Greet you, beautiful family, friends, and others with the greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. For one member of the family, we say shalom alaikum. For another great member of the family, we say hotep, ma'ak hotep, shemi hotep, and emhotep. And as we simply say in the Ifa community, alafi. Sending the various greetings to the Rastafari community, 12 tribe of Ashanti, Naya Bingi, Jah, Rastafari. To one great member of the family, we say, what's up, cuz? To another great member of the family, we say, so what's up, love? Where my folk at? To another great member of the family, we say, GD, folk, disciple. Where my vice lords at? To another great member of the family, we say, Almighty, greetings, blessed, one love in all phases and stages and connections and legacies and the total unification. Black loves, black laws, and black power for all black people, and all power to the people. Black power. And again, all power to the people, to all of the people. So yeah, so the topic for tonight, slavery was war. Those of you who were able to get the broadcast on Sunday, you were able to understand what that is and to get full clarity on what that is. Please go back to Sunday's broadcast, because it was given that Sunday's broadcast was, the title was, or the question was slavery a choice? And the answer was given that it was war. So in understanding that it was war, then you can have a comprehension of what it is we're dealing with right now. The questions asking about the sunken place, the questions asking about what must be done, all of the questions that we have right now is based on the fact that if you don't understand that slavery was war, and everything else goes up with me. So let's deal with it now, this war. Countless Africans were taken into captivity. There was full-scale war, slave, militaristic slave raids by trained forces, trained special forces, the first historical use of a special military force to invade nation states, but with a racial dynamic to detain Africans and to extradite us to seasoning camps and to prison labor camps after the seasoning camps. Understand clearly what happened to us, where on these seasoning camps we were dehumanized. According to experts, it takes about 14 days to totally dehumanize a person. This happens also in human trafficking cases where the human traffic victim is dehumanized. But understand what happened to us. Understand what level they did it to us, where you would take a black man and black woman after beating and torturing the black woman on the slave ship, as was just discussed, and filling her womb up with life raped in her womb, still hers, but raped in her womb, and then take that same black woman and hang her upside down. Take the biggest black man you could find. Sometimes he was tearing up everything once the shackles were put on him. You couldn't contain him. You couldn't sustain him. Sometimes he ain't even that big. Sometimes it's just the fact that he is just that serious about what he's serious about, his liberation and his freedom, because we never had no hang-up like that. It is always the enemy that likes to size things up and size people up. We never had any problems with that. But again, take that black man and hang him upside down next to her. And then any African who would come off the ships singing these sights of a black man hung upside down and a black woman hung upside down, and not just a black woman, but a pregnant black woman hung upside down, where just that sight alone put fear and trepidation in their heart. But then, as recorded, they would take sharp instruments and slice the womb of the black woman open in front of those coming off ships and emasculate that black man. Blood, making mud puddles under his head. The black woman, not only did they cut her stomach open, but would take their hands and rip the life out of her womb and crush the baby's head with their boot heels. And any black person, any African who would see that would ooh and ah, would themselves usually meet that same fate. And then they would take instruments, take binding instruments, tie it to the left hand, to the right hand, to the left leg, to the right leg, sometimes the head, sometimes the breast, and sometimes the reproductive organ, if it was the black African man. Tie those binds to a horse or oxen, some large animal, and beat or shoot the animal and have them go in opposite directions to rip open the black life. And if it was the black woman, and if she was pregnant, then the life she had in her womb, once she torn asunder, would be there. And many of the times they would come in and crush that life with their boot heels and rifle butts or any large or heavy instrument they could find. This is what took place in the seasoning camps. This is what took place when we got off the ships that we were the areas we were extradited to, coming off those prison ships, coming off those slave ships. This is what took place. That and much more, the torture and the trauma. So here's the issue. Many of you read and read in the information and on the flyer, we speak of, we talk of a depersonalization disorder. Many people don't even know what that disorder means, but we'll get into it. When you deal with a depersonalization disorder, disassociation, depersonalization disorder is so deep because the victim, the person who actually has a depersonalization disorder, has a detachment from their own body as a professional. When I myself and those who are professionals, when you actually have either dealt with a person or had to help a person or had to counsel a person or give therapy to a person who have a disassociation disorder, or someone who has the actual depersonalization disorder or derealization disorder, you also clearly comprehend the deep dynamic of this, that the person is not delusional. You know what I'm saying? They're not totally detached from themselves. The person actually, at least not to the degree that they don't know who they are, the person actually feels they feel that they have no control over their own bodies to the point that they feel that they're in a dream. The Falcon Punch. The Falcon Punch. But for people of African descent, it's a little bit deeper than that. Because for us, we have issues and problems, but it is obtrusive. If you want to really comprehend where depersonalization comes from. Now, there is no direct answer to that. DSM doesn't do that, and nothing else can do that. But there are answers involved where we know for sure that some of the triggers of that is trauma, could be war, could be a serious incident like PTSD. So we know that for sure. And then in knowing that for sure, what can be the triggers of such, and knowing that for sure, we can now take it a little bit further to really comprehend what we as a people have. We have what I diagnose as the traumatic black obtrusive depersonalization disorder, or the traumatic black obtrusive sunken place disorder. But how do we get there? How did that happen? Intentional torture and intentional trauma. See, this is what makes our issues and our problems different than anybody else's. People who go through horrible things, people who go through war, people who go through tragedy, as a result, can actually have PTSD. Not everybody, but a lot of people. Not everybody has that as a result, but a lot of people do. But for us, what we experience is much more deeper because it's not just us going through trauma, and as a result of trauma, we got some issues. It's a dynamic that the person who traumatized us intentionally socially engineered the trauma to the point that whatever we have is obtrusive and intentional. It's like, let's say, for instance, somebody shot up your home. They may have shot up your home to kill someone. Well, let's say someone shot up your home and orchestrated in a way that it would have a serious psychological effect and came there and engineered how that affected. So that's what makes what we as a people have different. That's what makes it different. We were constantly tortured and constantly terrorized and constantly traumatized into being to have a disassociation from ourselves, to depersonalize us from being Africans, from being black people, from being melanated people. We were tortured to the point to where they would say, once beating us, once slicing open the wounds, once binding us, once us witnessing all of the trauma and the torturous things, we were then told, you listen here now, boy. You listen here now, girl. If you don't comply, you end up just like that. Your name is no longer Omawati. Your name is Billy. Your name is no longer Nzinga. Your name is Sally. So creating disassociation from there, detaching us from ourselves, detaching us from the language of the Fulani, detaching us from the language of the Mandinka, detaching us from our symbolism, from our ancestors, detaching us from that and giving us names that have nothing to do with us. So a sunken place, a disassociation, a depersonalization, where you're an African, your name is Omawale, but this person has tortured and beat you into saying and identifying and answering to Billy, answering to Bobby, answering to Steve, answering to Remus, and whatever other name, answering to Sally, answering to Susie, and whatever other name they threw and actually gave to us and imposed on us. And then we sit and we think. We know that we're on the wild. We knew that we were Nzinga, and we knew that we were Santiwa, and we knew that we were who we were as Africans, but there was someone who traumatized and tortured us into disassociating with that, to a depersonalization where we no longer can express ourselves or publicly be that. So being trapped in a sunken place that I am Omawande, but when they call me Bobby. So that is Jannah Holocaust and the trauma of those who intentionally put us in a disassociated state, those who intentionally traumatized us, those who intentionally, in an obtrusive way, put us in a state of depersonalization. So, as everyone knows, the actual, when dope will first, let's give credit and respect where credit and respect is. It was Dr. Franz Fanon who was up the first to educate us on the fact that our psychological issue had something to do with racial discrimination and white supremacy. First to do that. Dr. Nellie Fuller, Dr. Francis Quest Lawson was of the first to let us know and to give us empirical information on the fact that what we suffered from psychologically had to do with the racial discrimination and the racism and the treatment that was given to us. Dr. Bobby Wright, Dr. Naeem Makhbah, Dr. Amos Wilson, some of the greats, and Dr. Joy DeGrill, a.k.a. Dr. Joy Leary, who previously Dr. Joy gave us empirical information on our condition. She gave us the actual diagnosis of post-traumatic slavery disorder. In her clinical analysis, the conclusion was, in order for us to actually go through healing, proper therapy, that the society would actually have to change. Now, what I diagnosed we have is the traumatic Black African Holocaust disorder. I'll say that one more time. The traumatic Black African Holocaust disorder. What makes that unique is that it has paralysis, one of which is what I just stated. And that is the traumatic Black obtrusive depersonalization disorder, a.k.a. sunken place disorder. Now, what do we mean by paralysis? Well, what makes the traumatic Black African Holocaust disorder unique is the fact that it is a base problem. But as anybody who knows, any professional knows, that when a person has a psychological issue, they usually have others. For example, if someone has PTSD, they also may be bipolar. And if they're bipolar, they may also have PTSD. That psychological problems and issues usually come with other issues or developing other issues. I mean, that's just basically how it is. It is what it is. But in understanding the traumatic Black African Holocaust disorder, there are corollaries of that, meaning this. What makes a traumatic Black African Holocaust disorder different is the fact that our condition is not just the result of what happened before. It's not just the result of what's happening now. It's the result of before, now, and ongoing. That in the science of epigenetics, we are taught that there's something known as transgenerational wound and psychology. But in transgenerational trauma, the epigenetic markers have actually been identified. Now, there's some debate, and it's funny that debate came around 2017 when we started on really, really, really covering that real heavy. But in a debate, some of the experts on the other side state that the transgenerational epigenetic markers are subjective because it doesn't get two studies on the fourth generation, only the parents and the offspring and the grandchildren. But I say I will make it clear and say as a professional and as an expert that it does make it clear due to the fact that you have the parent, you have the grandparent, and you have the offspring, and you in essence have grandchild and grandparent. So that clears the fact that it does exist and that it is transgenerational. But transgenerational trauma exists regardless of those epigenetic markers that were discovered. But the fact of the matter is that the point of transgenerational trauma is that babies, that victims of Holocaust produce babies who also have the same trauma as the first victim until that's taken care of. And it's called transgenerational trauma. So the Black African Holocaust disorder deals with our transgenerational trauma and the corollaries of that, one of which we are covering tonight again, the traumatic Black obtrusive depersonalization disorder.
this song complaint. So we were traumatized into a song complaint, so we have no identification with who we are and what we are. That, again, the African whose name was Omawale was beaten and tortured into a different name. Your name is Billy. But they know inside that they're Omawale. So now they're in this dream state that they don't have control over their body. That somebody says, you do this. Somebody says, you do that. And not only that, they have no control or personalization over their family structure. A person could do anything they want to do to their family in front of them, and they can't do anything about it. You're supposed to be fine. You're supposed to be happy. But your wife and your children can be harmed right in front of you. Still going on today. You could be driving in your vehicle, and you're pulled over by a police officer. The police officer starts bothering your wife. This happens every day. And then you try to, hey, wait, sit back and get back and all this other stuff. They harm your babies and you want to do something, but you're trapped in that want. You depersonalize your identity, your authority, mother as father, is now suppressed to the point to where it's obtrusive to this context that if you do act it out, then they take it further and will kill you and kill everybody else. But again, this is war. So there's not like a choice in that, meaning that war is war. So this is getting to what we asked before about slavery being a choice, and we deal with the fact that slavery ain't no choice, it is war. That means that if you snap their necks and they kill you, you're still a dead person in the war, physically. And if you didn't die, you're a living person in the war. We are at war. And when you're at war, you must do things according to war, meaning that in war, there's a battle. In war, there is fighting. So we must have continuity of struggle. But just dealing with the fact that it's not a choice, it's war. War, there's no choice. War has been waged. Slavery was war, and it's ongoing to right now. There's different facets of the same war. Getting on to how we became this person in a sunken state. Disassociated with us. So yes, to answer the question, it is true that there is a sunken place like the movie Get Up. Empirically, it is called depersonalization disorder. The difference between somebody who just has depersonalization disorder as a result of whatever reason they have, trauma, whatever the experience is that us as people of African descent, we have it. Because it was intentionally imposed for us to have something like that. Triggers were set up. When we were traumatized in the seasoning camps to socially engineer us into a people disassociated with Africa, the intention was to disassociate us. The intention was to depersonalize us as Africans and who we were. So in dealing with that, there were triggers set up. Through symbolism and automatic, systematic remote control of said triggers, where a white person with a hat on was a trigger, where you automatically, ain't no teacups or anything like that. The teacup was not the trigger. So in the movie, you got the teacup, not any trigger. The slave with the trigger. A white person with a hat on was the trigger. A white person with copper medallions as many of our torturous wars was the trigger. And then as we got extradited from the seasoning camps to the prison labor camps, aka slave plantation, then the slave patrols wore those copper medallions, badges. They wore the big hats and the slave owner wore the same thing. Those are the psychological triggers. Red, white, and blue, the flag of the British Empire, the rebel, so-called rebel flag of America, and the U.S. flag, and now police flags, still triggers of the disassociating disorder that they obtrusively in essence, traumatized them into being people who were victims of such. So as we move along, there are other questions that I wanted to answer tonight as well. One of those questions were, are more black people killed today by police than were lynched during the lynching era? Now, let's deal with this. According to the facts, undebated and irrefutable facts, every 28 to 39 hours, a black person is still right now in 2018 murdered by agents of the state known as law enforcement. Yes, indeed. Not only that, this does not include those who are murdered by civilian races and civilian white supremacists, just those who are murdered by ones who wear badge. So let's deal with some facts. So that question in essence, are more black people murdered today by law enforcement than were during the lynching era or Jim Crow? Indeed, sure did have a Confederate mother. Definitely, Queen Revolutionary Queen Becca Shakur, Revolutionary Love and Black Power to you. So let's deal with this now. According to experts, law enforcement, and journalists, as reported in the San Francisco Bay View, October 5th, 2014, in an article entitled "More Black People Killed by Police Than Were Lynched During Jim Crow," that's the title of the article. It states that more black people killed by police than were lynched during Jim Crow. It states most Americans tend to think lynching as a dated form of racial violence that suddenly disappeared, the ending of Jim Crow. However, America's proclivity towards slaughtering black people lives on through the country's police department. It goes on to say, a recent article published by The Guardian illustrates how true this reality is. It says that, revealing that history estimates that during the late 19th to early 20th centuries, 2 to 3 black people were lynched every week in America. So this was during the lynching era, 2 or 3 black people were lynched. But you imagine that. Any other nation that is genocide, and it is genocide, but 2 to 3 black people were lynched every week during the lynching era. But then it goes on to say, it says that when this is compared with the incomplete data is not even complete. There's more black people dead than the ones recorded every 20 to 39 hours, so it's really incomplete. It's more to it than that. But when compared with the incomplete data, it says compiled by the FBI that shows that a black person is killed by a white officer more than twice a week, and the study reveals that a black person is killed every 28 hours by the police. Imagine. So those are the empirical results of that question, but I'm not done with that question. According to experts, law enforcement, sociologists, journalists, and the Associated Press, as reported in the Huffington Post in an article entitled "Police Killing Surpassed Worst Years of Lynching, Capital Punishment and the Movement Response," November 4, 2015. It goes on to ask the question, how common are police killings? The current movement emerged out of mounting anger over killing of unarmed citizens by police states. When the question of how often such killings take place quite naturally arose, the shocking answer was that no one knew, it said. It said that State of Affairs, the FBI director at that time, James Comey, had aptly described as embarrassing and ridiculous, that they intentionally didn't want to report it. Intentionally didn't want to do that. Moving right along. Absolutely, General Jassir, that is. In response to the upsurge in public interest in police killings, the Washington Post and Guardian had stepped up to perform the task. So the Washington Post and the Guardian actually now have an empirical data on police killings. Empirical data. From every year, from 2015 till now, they do the accuracy to the best of available information on how many black people are murdered by white police officers. Moving right along, it states police killings of black people today, the extrajudicial killing by police, the all too common
common practice that ignited the current movement in states now number more than four times the number of people lynched during the lynching. According to experts, sociologists, and also law enforcement themselves, and Quartz News, Tuesday, July 7, 2016, an article entitled More Black People Killed by U.S. Police Than Were Lynched in the Worst Years of Lynching, it states that after the disturbing deaths of Alton Sterling, Philando Castell, at the hands of law enforcement, racial bias and police brutality have once again become a heated subject, it states, in the U.S. And it goes on to state, following the lead of a Twitter user, that Quartz themselves went to get empirical research done. And they got this from the Alabama Tuskegee University, dealing with lynching. And in doing such, it goes on to state that beginning in the 1890s, when the racist segregation laws were created, that close to about 3,000 black people were lynched. On an average, 39 black people were lynched per year, it said, under Jim Crow. In 1892, the worst year, 161 black people were lynched. More than a century later, the numbers have hardly improved. It says in 2015, 258 black people were killed by the police. That's 26%. Could you imagine that? 258. There's 365 and a quarter days in a year. So 265 black people in that year being murdered. That's almost every day. According to the Washington Post statistic on police killings entitled Fatal Force, y'all can check it out yourself. Fatal Force is what the Washington Post does to give empirical data on police killings. It estimates every 28 to 39 hours a black person is murdered by police in America. This is up to the most recent information of 2017. It goes on to talk about how black people make up 13% of the population, but almost 30% of the killings by law enforcement in 2017, a record 223 black people were killed by police. And then as you go through the years, 2016, 270, and of course in 2015, over 315 black people were murdered in 365. So those are the empirical facts about that to answer that question. Let's deal with this issue, because a lot of people don't really understand the depraved mind that they have. Some of you who keep up on information are privy to some of the things they do, but some are not. So this is a police officer in Georgia. This just happened in 2017. He pulled over a white lady who was under the influence. I think it was alcohol. And she said she didn't want to put her hand down. It is, generally, you know, definitely a problem. She said she didn't want to put her hand down because she saw too many videos. Basically, you know, suggesting that police kill people. So here's the situation.
Now listen to me. Call the person that was coming to get you. Tell them they don't need to come. All right? Yes. Okay? So go ahead and call them. I'm going to take you to jail, and I'm going to impound the car.
Before that, she needs to go to
no.
But I can't call them if you don't open the door.
Why can't you?
Because I will not put my...
Use your phone. It's in your lap
okay,
right there.
I just don't want to put my hands down. I'm really sorry. I'm just...
You're just really wrong.
No. I've just been wasting many videos of problems.
But you're not black. Remember, we only kill black people. Yeah, we only kill black people, right? All the videos you've seen, have you seen white people get killed? You have.
So the white lady tells the police officer she don't want to put her hand down because she just seen too many videos of people getting shot by the police. He said, don't even worry about it. We only kill black people. That's what he told her. Now, to give you the citation on that, according to witness, law enforcement, and the dash cam of the officer, which recorded it, and journalists that reported New York Times, August 31st, 2017, the police officer, Lieutenant Greg Abbott of Cobb County Police Department in Georgia, said we only kill black people when, I'll just get into what it says, it states that a female passenger can be heard telling the officer that she did not want to put her hands down to reach for her phone because I've just seen way too many videos. But he responds, Abbott says, but you're not black. Remember, we only kill black people. Yeah, we only kill black people. So when you want to understand how deep and how serious this thing is, they are boasting about the fact that they only kill black people. That he only kills black people. Now, as we move on to diagnosing evil, there was a question of the questions that was asked about whether or not violent racism was a mental disorder. So I'll be dealing with that right now. So here is from, of course, you know, everybody who knows that I'm completing a Black African DSM for people of African descent, understand that the fields of, well, across the spectrum, psychology and psychiatry, only 2-4% of psychologists and psychiatrists are black, of African descent. And counselors, roughly only 2% are black. So this is why they're very hard on those of us who can get into the curative, the preventative, and the management, and the therapy, and dealing with the black mind, period. That's why they come at us so hard. And then I myself, I mean, what's the best way to put it? In a very unique position because of the fact of everything else that is stood upon. But in essence, if you're Pan-African or black nationalist, that is dangerous as well. That's why they come after those amongst us who are serious about our people so hard. Dr. Wilson had it hard. Dr. Wright had it hard. Dr. Wilson had it hard. Nellie, for all of them, had it hard. And Dr. Johnson has it hard. However y'all want to feel, that's, he's a revolutionary, well-versed, well-knowledgeable, and well-helpful Dr. Umar Johnson, psychologist, comrade and a brother. Love him very much and love him and support him, period. But that's why they come at those of us who can help our people in a psychological way so hard. But here it is, racism as a disease. Dr. Wilson already even told us what time it was with the survival aspect and that they did have a problem, that racism was white supremacy. So she then broke that down to us. But in my empirical dynamic, dealing with it, racism as a disease, that people of European descent have a disease because of racism and white supremacy. And the disease that they have is a racist, depraved disorder. A mentally toxic racism that compels them to do evil, knowingly and at times unknowingly. Referring to racist whites now. Now, there are whites who align themselves with liberation struggle for people of African descent. Some of them kind of work on their problem. But in essence, the whites who align themselves with evil and violence and white supremacy, in essence, when you deal with this level of, what's the best way for, of evil that racism and white supremacy compels them to, it's to the point of where they'll harm a baby and feel no way about that. As we went through, harm a pregnant woman, kill a child, it makes no difference. But
feed the baby alligator.
That was the issue. That's where the term gator bait comes from. Serious topic for another time. But let's deal with it. After you go through countless cases where a mentally ill person or a delusional person or a person has a personality disorder, a sociopath, or one who can be delusional, a narcissist, and you see the end result of the crimes of people like that and how one of them, let's deal with the narcissist, they have delusions that compel them to do what they do. The sociopath has no consciousness on what they do. Well, racism, white supremacy, is a malignant form of both, but racialized. Sociopathic behavior and narcissistic, delusional, and not just the point of disillusions, but the evil and harm that they do being from that position. So what I diagnose it as is a obtrusive, white, depraved disorder. That's what it is. And we'll be getting deeper into it and different in the future, but that's exactly what it is. It is an actual disease. It is a problem that they have.
And it is sociopathic and narcissistic all in one, malignant in that way. Those who understand the characteristics of being a sociopath, those who understand the characteristics of being a narcissist, you put two of them together, that's the most dangerous thing that you can experience,
yep.
But that's exactly what racism and white supremacy
mm-hmm.
is as a disease.
Yep.
So that's my professional opinion on racism and white supremacy based on all the empirical experiences that we have gone through. Depersonalization disorder, that was covered. Basically the traumatic aspect of it on what we have. But what I'm going to get into now is to break down to you all, because the question was answered, that we as a people, we do suffer from a sunken place disorder, and it does exist. So I'm going to break down to you what that is. I'm going to deal with the problem now. And on our next broadcast, I deal with the curatives, preventatives, and the management of the problems, the empirical solutions to the problems. So let's deal with it now. The traumatic black obtrusive depersonalization disorder, also known as the traumatic black obtrusive sunken place disorder. I want you to imagine this, family. Imagine you're pulled over by the police. You want to say something, but you cannot. You're a father. You're a husband. But you don't feel like that because the police is in control. I was talking about your wife, your children. They say or do anything they want to do to them, and you can't do nothing. You feel trapped. That's the sunken place. That's the depersonalization.
Right.
Moving right along, we knew we went over our experience in the seasoning camps. So I'm going to go over the five traits of the traumatic black obtrusive depersonalization disorder, a.k.a. the traumatic black obtrusive sunken place disorder. Trait number one. Social media indeed does. Indeed, Jones just said. To the point where you got people so depersonalized, they ain't the person that they try to represent on social media. That they'll talk all this stuff and all this trash and even threaten people.
Yeah.
And then in person, they running faster than a cheetah or a hike or a damn gazelle in the wild,
yeah.
Running from a lion.
Yeah.
While moving right along. So the five traits of the traumatic black obtrusive depersonalization disorder, a.k.a. traumatic black obtrusive sunken place disorder. And trait number one, has a depersonalized identity, as to say, though empirically and historically you're African or indigenous to the land, empirically and racially you are black. However, you are not comfortable with your personal identification and are detached from it. You are depersonalized from who you are. We so detached from that. Niggers, we don't know we that. Negroes, we don't know we that. Negroes, we that one day and colored the next day and African the next day. African, Afro-American, hyphenated, African-American, Native, Moor, Jamaican, Haitian, Cuban, Puerto Rican, Kemetic, Goon, Blood, Crip, Hebrew, and Greek.
Mixed.
Everything. Other than who we are, all of which are not exactly what we are, but we are depersonalized from ourselves, lost our true self, seeking outside for identity. We're robbed of who we were, and it's sad because sometimes even the best of us say some sickness. But you know, I got Indian in my family. Even the best of us.
Yeah.
Even the best of us. Even the best of our people, and it's sad, but that's a part of the trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Now, first off, you are a human being. The first human is the Homo sapiens, the mitochondria, even Y chromosomal atom. Your empirical origins, according to anthropology, genetic and biology, and the empirical sciences, is Akubulan, is Africa. That's where we're from. That's where we came from. Now, indeed, you're African. But you're taught and we're taught and imposed to hate Africa, to hate Africa. We are taught and it was imposed for us to deny everything about ourselves being Africa, to disassociate. That's a part of our trauma and passed on from generation to generation to generation to generation to generation. Now, some are so sick and far off that we'll say we have everything. That's where this whole thing comes from, where you got people. It's not because people are, and I'm not going to put everybody in there, because you got some people that are really making sincere efforts, but you got a lot of people who know better, and they say they're everything but being black or African, because they hate that. And that's why certain teachings are dangerous. Like we have some like the funky Africans, the funky Africans. If your doctrine says that, throw it in the toilet. I can accept anything you have to say because we all can express ourselves differently. But if your doctrine says that, throw it in the toilet. But let's keep it 100 now. And I ain't trying to step on no toes. But let's keep it 100. So we can empirically deal with the fact that we are Africans. We can deal with it genetically, anthropology, and historically, that that's who we are, that that's who and where human beings came from. We are the first of that. Mitochondria Eve and Y chromosome are Adam. That's us. That's who we are, right? The Homo sapien, not no half ape thing. I'm talking about Homo sapiens, just period, just keeping it there on that part of what we are and who we are. Now, let's deal with it, though. Okay. Though we are that, we will say that we Hebrew, and we'll attack the hell out of Africa. Some for those who do. We'll say that we're more and attack the hell out of Africa. When if you was really Moroccan, Morocco is in Africa. Mm. Now, here's how the argument goes. We're told, which is an error, which is a fallacy, which is a myth, which is fiction, and it's not empirical at all, that the word Africa comes from Scrapio Africanus, Leo Africa. All of that is bullcrap. These people were called African and of Africa and Africanus because that's where they came from, Africa. When you study the etymology of the word African, the history of the word African, you can't come up with a record date for the usage of the word, and we can find it in various systems of Africa. You have the Afar tribe, and you have the Akan. I mean, we could, so many different ways you can come up with it. Afrikaan, so many different ways you can come up with it being relevant in different cultures and language and dialects of Africa. So, but we'll say we Greeks. Mm-hmm. No, we everything but African,
right.
And that's a problem. And we everything but black. Now, some say, you know, it's the color of the law. And all of that is excuses to disassociate. Well, no, I'm not going to be a slave. I'm a slave to the color of the law. Listen, it don't matter what you say in the so-called law. We are at war. That's why you have hundreds of thousands of our people who put feathers on and put the tag on and all this rhetoric and all this talk and all this paperwork, but they behind bars. Because when you're at war, the enemy don't give a damn about your sovereignty, about what we identify, you know what I'm saying? Then we sovereign. If they cared about sovereignty, they would have never went to Libya and murdered Comrade Gaddafi. Would have never did. They would have never went to Iraq and murdered Saddam Hussein. Those were sovereign territories and sovereign people in their sovereign nation, but they beat and destroyed them and murdered them. So that don't mean anything to war. When there's war going on, to the person warring against you, they don't give a damn what you said. Well, you know, you're gonna see the end result of it. They said, look at our sister Corinne Game. She gave them all that information, and they eventually drug out the car and beat her to the point that she miscarried. Most people don't know about this, and then eventually went to her home, and the Negro who taught her that jumped out the house with the baby. What kind of man are you to do something like that? That's that disassociation. He was disassociated to the first place, and he totally went, well, shoot, you know, she getting killed, you know, I'm a mole, so I'm gone. They won't see me no more. I'm not making light of that, but I'm just saying that's how far gone we are, period. So I'm saying that because if we're going to take our lives serious, then we got to take that serious. Be a Moor, be a Hebrew, do what you do. But if it means that you have to attack being African or somebody who identifies as being black, then what you're saying really ain't real. And it can be what you say it is, because if you go into a temple with it and praying, then that's a religion or spiritual system. That ain't got nothing to do with what you're talking about, the politics and the law and all the stuff. You say some other stuff that's going on. So it then boiled down to being just another religion.
Mm-hmm.
But moving right along. Again, no disrespect. Respect to the whole family, but we got to keep that 100. Because I'm tired of the foolishness that goes on and the fake debates.
Fake, man.
Now we deal with trait number 2. Has a depersonalization on image
you cannot associate yourself with being good looking. The image you have ain't worthy enough. So when you see yourself, man, I don't look like no real person. Like, real person, I got a blonde my hair, I got to perm my hair, I got to bleach my skin, change my eyes, all of that. So the personalization of who you truly are is ugly to you, to the point that you do it on a relationship level, that the black woman ain't the real woman. The real woman is a different woman. So if you were, she got to put the perm and got to do all that stuff too. The black man ain't no real man.
Yep.
Black power, that's right. You just stop to the debating, and they got to get to working. They doing work, then they wouldn't have any damn time to be sitting up there debating and running their mouth. Moving right along. The black family ain't the real family. They're not. Only the white family's the real family. So dealing with trait number three has a depersonalization of relationships. Our relationships aren't real relationships. Only their relationships are real.
Mm-hmm.
Black marriages,
mm-hmm.
they're not really real.
Yeah.
Only the structure of white supremacy in the white marriage is truly real. And when you get into that, into trait number three, the black man is not a real man. The real American man, he's not. The white man is. And the closer you get to him is the closer you get to success.
Mm-hmm.
The closer you'll be to who you feel is better than yourself. Now, getting into this thing, the black woman ain't the real woman. The white woman is. And the closer you are to her is the closer you are aspiring to be the real man, which is the white man. This is the sunken place level of O.J. Simpson, of Kanye West, of Alan West, of Clarence Thomas, of Stacey Dash, and David Clark. There are different levels to it, but this is the place that they're at with, where they're totally detached, totally disassociated with
mm-hmm.
self. Totally. Black power, General
Black power.
Green.
Black power.
Moving right along. Number four, has a depersonalization about the goodness of black women and black men, that they are not really good people,
mm-hmm.
that the good person is the white person,
mm-hmm.
other than self and outside of self. This disassociation and depersonalization has a depersonalization when it comes to the person or role as a so-called goon or killer, as some of you want to say,
yeah.
as a father, as a spouse, as a mother, when encountering whites, especially police, who are able to beat, rape, shoot, and murder loved ones and friends right in front. You could be the biggest so-called goon with all of that. That you identifying with, so there's now a disassociation from a false association, the goon. You even disassociate from that when it comes to them.
Yeah.
That you can't be the goon you thought. You didn't kill 20, 30 people, but one little cop pull over 10 of y'all. Y'all on the ground getting kicked, one of y'all get killed, and all you do is cry. Disassociation.
Yeah.
Depersonalization.
Mm-hmm. So true.
Sad, but true. Now we're going to deal with the traits of the traumatic lack of truth, the corollary of the traumatic lack of truth in some places, of the corollary of the traumatic lack of truth in depersonalization disorder, which is a traumatic lack of truth in complacency disorder. So I'm going to cover a few of those traits. Number one is complacent in the face of violence and danger, even onto the point of death. Complying with an attacker, having the ability to secure yourself, but not doing such. Two, will refuse to defend and protect family, even in the face of violence and danger, and going back again, especially if it's the police. Three, will, when pulled over by police, afraid to express how you really feel. Even if it's not right, you're so detached, so depersonalized, you know it's wrong, but you're afraid, and you're also, because you're triggered, to that depersonalization, so nothing is said.
Yeah.
Beat you, abuse you, and throw you in a cell,
yeah.
and
yeah.
that is what it is.
No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am.
Four, refuse to defend self against any white in authority. At the same time, will lash out against blacks in the same position. Six, will not defend family and friends against whites in authority, whether it's the police, the courts, or whatever. Seven, or the schools. will not speak out about issues related to black people, though they feel that they could, but it's for fear of reprisal. Eight, will attack other black people without regard for consequences to the black person and to self. Nine, will embrace causes that are dangerously anti-black. 10, will hate black people and attack black people just to get by and get ahead. Mm-hmm. End the disassociation.
Cool.
Because they're not the real people. Mm-hmm. The white people are. You're not the real person. They are. 11, will marry whites and submit to their system to assimilate.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of speak out and do better and even become an independent people.
Yeah.
12, won't speak and be self, but trapped inside of the system of racism and white supremacy. 13, pulled over by police and refuse to be who you truly are. 14, would totally disregard black identity and culture, especially hating Africa, dark skin, and anything that has to do with blackness. 15, including thick lips and nappy hair. In extreme cases, actually hate blackness, and in mild cases, pretend to hate in order to get by. Like David Clark. I was told that David Clark used to, former Milwaukee Sheriff David Clark, I was told that he was, like, very proud to be black, that he's a supporter of all the entire movement and all of that, and all of a sudden, he flipped. He got a white wife, married her in 1986, and then been on a downward spiral ever since.
Trying to be white, crack on black face.
Now, by me saying this, I'm saying whoever you want to be with, that's your business.
Yeah.
Well, whatever they from, whoever they are, that's your business. But what I'm talking about is the psychological issue,
right?
The psychological issues related to why victims of the Black African Holocaust choose to be with people. That you're in no healthy condition to try to seek to be with something other than yourself. You got to get your mind right, okay? Because then things will be on an equal level, an equal playing field. 19, disrespect black relationships, marriages, and their well-being, feeling that it's really because whites have total control over the wealth and the status and all of that, et cetera, et cetera. 20, will be pro-black and then have a white spouse, a boyfriend, or girlfriend, and refuse, and then eventually will refuse in some cases to be involved with black people, or are totally pro-black with everything else except what's in their house, their spouse. These types get older, they do eventually lean more towards white racism and white supremacy, for example, like David Clark. 21, will raise their children to be inclusive and do not call themselves black, but American or African American. So those are the traits of the disorder. The last one was the corollary, the complacent part of that, which I had to separate the two because one deals with complacency, the other deals with the total disassociation process. And in our next broadcast, we will deal with the curative, preventatives, management, and solutions on how to get ourselves past this disassociation, get ourselves past this actual depersonalization that we have. And that's basically the major context. I want to make sure that we covered everything. And yes, as we covered, Trump has emboldened the racists and the bigots because he's won his goddamn self. How do you deactivate the mental triggers of slavery? We'll be coming with 5 and 21 steps on how to do that. For those of you who are listening, it is 2:42 a.m. on the East Coast, on the East Coast, and that is 11:42 p.m. on the West Coast and 1:42 Central Time. You can call right now, area code 929-477-3104. That is 929-477-3104. 3104.
Mm-hmm.
At Becca Shakur, you better believe it truly does.
Mm-hmm.
They just have an appearance of being pro-black, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Absolutely right. That it does give them a disqualification. They're artificial.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them fool you that way. They got all this black stuff. They got kente cloth, dashikis, red, black, and green shoes. And then you go to their house, and you be like, hey, Papa, who this woman? You got one of them open. You don't know what's going on. And then you be like, what the hell is going on?
Mm-hmm.
But, and I know people, I know elders like that. I know elders that been put in some real good work back in their time. But then all of a sudden, they on some other stuff. Shay, indeed, don't you say? Again, for those of you who the line is open, 929-477-3104, that want to call in and express yourself, do call in. If you have any issues, call in and let us know. Area code 929-477-3104 as we near the end of tonight's broadcast. And I hope you're able to get a wealth of information. For those of you who are listening, who's interested in helping and interested and joining the Revolutionary Black Panther Party. You can inbox us. You can inbox myself. It's A-L-I, middle initial O, last M-U-H-A-M-M-A-D, or Queen Hare, the Deputy Chief Second in Command at REPP, at Amina Zuri Asset Maya, right here. Or you can email us at reppnationalhq@gmail.com. Go to the website, www.revolutionaryblackpantherparty.org. To tell you all the ways you can reach out. You can reach out to us.
Right.
All the ways that you can. So, again, if you want to call and express yourself, it's area code 929-477-3104. That's area code 929-477-3104.
Mm-hmm.
And the next broadcast will be dealing with the curatives and preventatives.
Right. Brother TJ, what's wrong? You got the sideways cricket emoji.
He probably came in a little late, but you can rewind it, good brother TJ. We'll follow
the
job, but we
didn't. The first part was the second part, and we got cut off. We had to restart the live stuff.
Yes, and then we had a difficult time tagging people. She did, and I did. They didn't shut my whole thing down. Talking about, I had to tag differently.
But yeah, they gonna, of course, people who don't want
right,
to hear type of stuff like that, they gonna Black Power brother. They gonna call you crazy. They gonna say if you think differently. Oh, of course. The word, first thing they're going to say, you crazy.
Absolutely.
Or they're going to take us drugs. Or somebody done told him something wrong. It all got to be something like that. Why you can't think for yourself?
And here's the trick. The trick to it is that people that have depersonalization disorders, they're not like, you know, like some totally delusional person that can't identify with the fact that they are the person, but then they feel disassociated from that and more inclined to something else. So, hell, you know, when it comes to that, of course the depersonalization disorder of our families are going to cause them to actually attack us and ostracize us because we don't think like them or agree with them. And so, yeah, you crazy, you this, you that, you know, all that other stuff
that
they'll do. Everything.
You're the devil.
All kind of different things they're going to throw at you.
Is everything that you do different, especially with people who are set in their ways and they don't want to accept the truth, even though it sounds good, you got truth and facts to back it up, their mind can't fathom or grasp, you know, their reality. So
they'd
rather stick
to
what's familiar to them, and they don't want to stick to the easy way. They don't want to think that far. They don't want to go there because they're comfortable in being, you know, walkers.
Black Power, I thank both of y'all, General Ojasiri and General Kareem Khan. Love both of you.
Black Power.
And for those of you who are listening, the lines are open for you.
Mm-hmm.
The lines are open. I will, General.
Black Power.
They do say that too, General Ojasiri. They do something. They
you
hey,
say that?
Hey.
I swear to God,
they
you the devil. You don't believe
it. They definitely call you all kind of things.
Only because
sometimes, honestly, that's why people in the quote unquote conscious community be so hard. They ain't trying to tell you the truth. It's just how they family been told. They be so hard on the Christians because of what happened in their life, and they need to tell the truth. Like I say, tell the truth and saying the same, and they think the devil, right? They got to tell the truth. Because they parents, they family members, parents, auntie, cousin, and you going straight to hell. Yeah, everything is going straight to hell. And then so when they get on a different side of everything, they're ready to kick their behind. But the danger of what it is that they carry that same stuff. So somebody that don't agree with them, they got that same thing. They got their own concept of what hell is. If you ain't Kemetic, like me, you ain't Hebrew, you ain't more,
right.
You ain't whatever I am, that's where you're going to.
Right.
Whatever I made hell out of.
Right. Right.
The hell with all of them.
Black Power, Freeman. Yeah, last time, well, before this time, it was on last week, last Sunday, and that was after a 5-month break, so we had to.
She was on earlier.
I was on earlier today.
Yeah, the little baby, she was on.
Naeem was on earlier today, and she was on last Sunday when we did the broadcast. But, yeah, we've been off about 5 months. So, yeah, we're getting back, you know, things into motion. So, yeah, the pregnancy went great. The delivery went great. And she's, like, the best baby ever.
Yeah, she's on a whole
She's, like, she's waiting for her time.
She's standing, sitting up.
Everything.
You know, grabbing, pulling.
Everything.
Reaching out to speak.
Mm-hmm. Every time she come in here with him, she just all eyes on him. She will not take her eyes off of him. But
absolutely.
She like that from the womb.
Black Power, that's Black right. Understood.
But yeah, every time you think differently from how your family programmed you to be, they want you to have their way of thinking. And if you think differently, then it's foreign, it's wrong, it's bad, it's different, and you're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. I'm right. You're wrong. And that's what's wrong about people. You know, we get too caught in our way of thinking, and it's not even our way of thinking. It's other people's programming.
Right.
And we can't understand what's true when it's right in front of our faces. So sometimes it's too late.
Right. True.
Yeah. And I have conversations with my mom, and I'm so proud of her, and I'm so thankful that my mom accepts me now fully for everything. You know what I'm saying?
Power.
Black Power, General Uzzasiri, and General
Black Power.
I'm so proud of her now because she's in the state now to where she understands certain things. She wants to know more information. She's meditating. She's eating different, and she accepts my way of life, and she's starting to do her own thing now. So, you know, it's great when you see your family, you know, starting to follow, you know, fall in motion. And it's like something that all of us want, you know, to try to get our family on board. Like when you first come into knowledge and you first go on your spiritual journey, the first thing you do, you go to your family. Like, oh, I found out, mama or daddy, that this dude's name wasn't Jesus, Yeshua or Yahweh, that he wasn't white, he was black. And you start finding out certain information like that, then all of a sudden you just, you know, you try to win them over with that and try to save them, but can't save everybody, and some information is not for everybody. Everybody has come around on their own time. But, you know, tonight was pretty good. Not pretty good, but amazing. Chief did an amazing job, like always touching facts and always digging deep into details of what a lot of people don't do. And it's hard to find real information like that now, even on the Internet. You know, it's hard to assimilate what's real and what's not. And that's what you get here, you know, with the Revolutionary Black Panther Party. What we break down facts, we break down knowledge and wisdom, and we use our platform for righteousness to grasp, you know, the minds of our people and heal everybody from the outside and on the inside. So we're not a terrorist group. We're not a hate organization. We're not a cult. We are a place where everybody can feel like they have a purpose. Everybody's a leader, not just one person. If something happens to us, we have everybody around us that's preaching and is teaching the same thing. So we will be coming on again next week, maybe tomorrow again. So I really appreciate everybody for tuning in. We really appreciate your energy, your support, and it means a lot. It do.
Indeed. Now, here's the thing, too, now. That thing what she was just saying. See, one thing about COINTELPRO and social engineering, notice every black group, and we covered that on Sunday too, has gone through what it is. It's always the same script. The scripts never change.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you got to be very careful and you got to be very observant, because mm-hmm. the scripts don't change. You get always your means the same. Same script. They never change. Look at all the stuff they said about Garvey. They never changed it. Garvey He was a sellout to the people.
Mm-hmm.
Garvey was a traitor. Garvey Must Go campaign. They said Garvey was an agent to the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah.
Garvey was this womanizer. Garvey was this woman abuser. They did the same thing on Muhammad. that when they put him and Malcolm X against each other, they also started saying things about Malcolm. They said that he had psychological issues.
Yeah.
They said that Malcolm was a sexual deviant. They said all these things. And Dr. King, same thing. And it's so deep because many of the times operatives be right there as partners with the people, not saying as partners in a relationship, but as partners, like they're close people. Like John Ali, the Nation of Islam, he was a straight, later admitted FBI agent whispering in both Abdullah Muhammad and Malcolm X air, creating foolishness and division and confusion. He was Jagger, who was a man in the nation, creating all sorts of problems in the nation.
Okay.
And when you go in the party, you know, in the 60s and 70s, the things we dealt with in the party, same thing. So the scripts don't change. They remain the same. We just got to be clever to see them. So I said it to say that they use certain things because they know it will scare the masses of black people. The masses of black people happen to be, and we talking about religious or spiritual Christian, they are. So you use words like cult, oh, that's going to run your grandma away, your auntie away, your cousin away. You use words like terrorist, they're going to run them away. I mean, I'm not telling them that. So they do those things to scare the people and to run people away because they know you don't have a movement, really, if the whole family, if the elder ain't there, the youth ain't there, the contemporary ain't there, you're over with. That means your past, present, and future is in the toilet. So it all got to be one always, and we got to find a way to bring it back together. And you got to be careful on how you approach different things because anytime a problem may arise.
Yes, and COINTELPRO is to stop the rise of a black Messiah. So they automatically designed it just for purposes like what our people do, or we tried to do in the past, and we're still doing it. So, you know, you kill a revolutionary, but you can't kill the revolution. We always have, no matter what day and age, we're going to always continue to fight, no matter what.
Indeed. And for those of you who are interested in speaking, please call area code 929-477-3104 because we are going to be wrapping things up soon. Again, we ask you to call area code 929-477-3104. Now is the time to call in, and we do have a caller on right now. Let me make sure the line is clear for the caller. Area code 929-477-3104. Caller, you on?
Yes, but I'm here.
Likewise, Black Power, how you doing?
I'm doing good. This is Becky Shakur.
Oh, Black Power Queen.
Thank you for calling
in. You're welcome. I had to because I'm trying to comment and it's not letting me whatsoever. Ever since.
See how they do us, but go ahead.
Yeah, ever since you shouted me out earlier, the video cut off. I had to go back into the live. And I'm talking about ever since you mentioned about the so-called pro-black person being with a white individual, I'm trying to write, you know, the Shiki got cat and dog hair on it, look for that. They not let me post nothing. And I'm like, man. And it's horrible, and it's a shame that even, you know what I'm saying, 2-3 in the morning, the devil is up playing with people.
Always lurking.
You know how the elders used to say that the devil always busy. and those pastors are always busy.
Right.
Always.
And you got the right and last name for it, too.
Now the crazy part is that when I was trying to tag everybody in earlier, now you know, when you putting a post up and you doing tags, you shouldn't have no. It's not like I do it every day. I usually only post once or twice a week. So I'm putting the post up, and it says that I'm doing it. This little message, you're temporarily blocked. You're doing it too fast. I'm like, how you could tag people that I never even heard of it? And so they did that. They got the page blocked, and they think they slick. But there's always ways that we got to do it. But until we get our own outlets, you know. There's some things we gotta do to adjust to it, but go ahead, Queen. You still have the line. It's still yours, Black Power.
Yes, that Black Power. That came from Facebook's end. It wasn't the block. I didn't even know you was doing Black Talk until I called in just now. I thought that you were just on a Facebook Live. So when I'm trying to comment on live, it let me earlier, as you've seen, and it was like, it stopped right after that, and I'm like, it'll pull up the comment part, my keyboard won't pull up, and I'm like, OMG, it's just ridiculous, you know, thanks to deal with that, but I just wanted y'all to let y'all know that there's an interference there. I don't know if it's happening with other people, but I was trying to
comment. Everybody else is coming, just getting through.
No, but you may not know. Maybe some people are commenting, not getting
right
through.
About
that. And it probably is interfering with other people.
Certain people that they don't want to let through.
Yeah, and especially, you know, people who they understand that they have an effect on our liberation. So especially that. But,
we appreciate
you too. Keep teaching.
Thank you. Thank you, Quinn. We'll be in communication with you. Definitely want to build further, and definitely, I remember the last time we conversed, that was like a couple months ago, and that was in between, you know, when the baby was coming and things like that. So we've been still working, but as far as like some aspects of social media, we were kind of like, just doing it on a seasonal thing, but you know we're where we are with that, and definitely want to continue to build and pick back up where we left off, and basically you know collectively you know get things you know on the up and up.
Understandable. All right, peace.
Peace and revolutionary love, Queen. Black power.
Black power.
Black Power. Black Power family.
Bring me play too much. don't get spooked. I spoke a lot. You play too much.
Oh, I wasn't there really too much. You smoke a lot.
Don't get spooked, you know. You smoke, people who smoke, they do get paranoid, so, you know.
And it depends on what you're smoking. You know, if you're dealing with Reddit, you probably will get paranoid. But you got the proper stuff, you probably be all right. Get yourself some Gorilla Glue. Let me stop. Limit, I said that. But anyway, the bottom line is that, the bottom line is that we got to be strong when we face these things where they want to interrupt and interfere and all this other stuff that they do.
Right,
and we got to unite. We got to be clear on our objectives. And we got to be unified.
Yeah.
Unified on all fronts. And we being strong, here's the thing. We're talking about, we're for the liberation and revolution of our people. Let me explain something to you. That means that if a sister, a family member, anybody, having harmed children or having raped or kidnapped or tortured or killed or murdered, not killed but murdered anybody, that we must, as revolutionaries, have forgiveness in our hearts for members of the family. But if those things have gone on, then there is none at all. But we must exercise that or we'll never be the people we're supposed to be. Never be.
I really do appreciate everybody for tuning in tonight. We'll be back again next week, maybe again tomorrow. Revolutionary love, peace, healing for all. Everybody, do your research, do your reading. I hear her whining. I'm going to go check on Naima. I think she's still sleeping.
Yes, she is.
So, peace and love. And if I don't come back, I'll see y'all again next time. Black Power.
Black Power. Black Power. To General Ujasiri and General Khan, if y'all want to call in, y'all can't. We're about to close out. It's 929-477-3104. And about anybody else, I want to, they can call in too. Thank you, good brother Freeman. Love to you too. We love you too, Black Power. So if y'all want to call in now, 929-477-3104, you can do that. Also, I've been in communication with you all tomorrow and through this weekend. We appreciate all of you for tuning in. For those who want to join RVPP, you can inbox Queen here. I'm the second in command, Deputy Chief of RVP, General Amina. And at this particular Amina Ziri, I set my art. Inbox me, ALI, middle initial O, MUHAMMAD. Email us, RVPNationalHQ@gmail.com. So that's what we're about to do. We're about to close out soon. So if you all want to call, you want to speak, 929-477-3104. 929-477-3104. Hopefully you can get through. So I give it a couple more minutes. But other than that, speak to you soon. Revolutionary love and black power to each and every one of you. And we apologize if you are trying to communicate and can't get through, even over here, and trying to put messages and you can't get through on the live. The NFL, my whole thing, I couldn't tag nobody, couldn't do nothing, tried my best. And it gave us a long night because we've been trying back and forth for quite a few hours trying to get things done. Even when General Netta, national spokesperson, was on, we was trying to get things done. And they give us these technological issues. But the revolution is the revolution. And a revolution can be stopped, can be interrupted, can be distracted, can be punked out, can be weakened. As a revolutionary, we're ready to face anything that's thrown at us. And if you're not, can't be revolutionary. So, revolutionary love to each and every one of y'all. We love all of you. Thanks to Queen Becca Shakur. We love you. General Ujasiri, General Kareem Khan. We'll be speaking soon, General Ujasiri. And revolutionary love to each and every person that are here. We love you all. Black power, black love. And we hope that you're able to learn good information tonight and that you're able to take notes. And we'll be coming with the curators and preventative next broadcast. Also, Limited Revolution, we're making a season premiere very soon. Revolutionary love and black power to you. Indeed, General Khan, black power, revolutionary love and black power. Speak to you all soon. Same revolutionary time, same revolutionary live, and also Women's Revolution, we're making this premiere soon as well, black power.
Black power, yeah, yeah. Ready for the revolution. It's the only solution. You know what I'm saying? So we gonna let these crackers know. You know what I'm saying? One time for that 2014. You know what I'm saying? We going into the millennium in the 2015. You know what I'm talking about? That real revolutionary gone shit. You know what I'm talking about? We talking about racial warfare. You know what I'm saying? Old pussy ass sack of wood. We ready for the.
Niggas prayed on my downfall.
Say what?
These niggas prayed on my downfall. On R10, bitch, I stood tall. Show these disloyal niggas how to boil. Go get a thermometer for the pot. I need this shit cooked right. Let's keep that water 400 degrees Fahrenheit. You ever been inside a federal courtroom? Nigga, you ever went to trial and fought for your life? Being broke did something to my spirit. Ask niggas to plug me. They act like they couldn't hear me. Look at me not driving German engineering. You don't want your baby mama fucked. Keep the hoe from near me. Kilroy. Remember when I used to use your L's to hit the road, hit the O and make them big boy sales? Move. Remember when you had them green things mailed with vacuum seals, trying not to have them green things smell? Feds was on me. What you know about related to money? I don't know nothing. I just used to see them walk to the Coney. I fuck with bitches. My body count go from Persian to Cody. Any further questions? You can take that up with the lawyer. My nigga Finkel J Money. Brimo Low Project Joe will tell you every day before school. I sold a half boat. How you think I won best dressed with no support and had them paid lawyers coming in and out of court? Hey, Wando, ATO, ain't it a blessing? We made it out Kentucky after all that happened. After the pretrials, after the status, after them impact statements, after the castle. Hey, JR, nigga, ain't it a blessing? We made it out of Lansing after all that happened.
That bitch, nigga.
After Michigan State, after Hubbard, when our mans told on us, them bands they took from us. Joy Road, bitch, but the money longer. 6 mile, brick mile, knock your ass down, pick her up, knock her back down, pull her tracks out. Yes, I slap girl, yes, I slap dog, yes, I slap loud. Yes, I slap a pussy nigga if he acts out. Yes, I caught cases on the road with them killers, bro. Kill me if I snitches. If you snitch, I'm gonna kill you. Spent a lot of time on the yard with them gorillas. Stood tall, did I let niggas hold me? Quit being silly. I know for a fact your bitch pussy get wet for a nigga. Cause I do it better, plus I'm doing better than niggas. I'm at home when I'm down there in Lexington, nigga. About the king, they gon' drop you in. Who next to you, nigga?
Go get him.
Say a little T. Get ahead of them niggas. When you take off, I'll look back and try to rescue them niggas.
I got
his mans to make sure you get the rest of them niggas.
I
don't let them get the best of you. Just get the revenue, nigga.
Let's get it.
So let me know what you can handle.
Ready.
Okay, come. grab it. Here goes some extra, so if I'm busy, you can manage. Fiends happy, bling dancing, needing $60 salary. Get it there and back, tell the feds I need a challenge. My first offer was 30 years, not a day lower. I told them crackers holler at me when they sober. On parole, I'm a felon, you think I ain't got that blower? Yeah, you right, bro, take his head off his fucking shoulder. You hear me? Hit the rolly stove with the rolly on. Who was our getaway car, Jag portfolio? You hear me? Hey, I heard I had some sneak dishes. Whoever feeling hot, that AR got a heat sensor. Cuz said don't entertain them hungry niggas. I wish I would pay attention to these homeless niggas. Go call my phone, I don't wanna do no song with niggas. And tell your bitch to tighten up before I bone her, niggas. I don't know you niggas, fuck wrong with niggas. Through these white buffs, I can see the hoe in niggas. Free my nigga Perico, that boy be hoeing niggas. Shoot the smile off your face, I don't joke with niggas. Boy, I can't trust you with that strap if you ain't got nobody. Boy, I can't take you on no lick if you ain't robbed nobody. You ain't no shooter, you can't do that shit without no molly. I came home and had the hoes wetter than Kalahari. 30 months ago, niggas ain't think that I was coming home. Shout out to them niggas, freezes I've been coming on. Get them to the crib, bust them.